Hello, and welcome to Torah in Motion's MP3 audio library. We hope you enjoy this recording of a live Torah in Motion presentation. For more information, please visit www.torahinmotion.org. Thank you.
As you know, this is the Haftorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to try to examine the importance of Tefillat Chana and obviously its connection to Rosh Hashanah. So firstly, we begin with the Gemara Masechet Brachot, which tells us that in addition to what we learned from Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which is that Tefillat Chana is indeed read as the Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah, for the same reason that we read V'Hashem Pakad Et Sarah. So this is a nice continuation of the first shiur this morning, for the same reason, Ki B'Rosh Hashanah Nifgada Sarah Rachel V'Chana. So if we're going to read about Sarah in the morning, so we'll read about Chana right afterwards. What, by the way, bothers you about that? What bothers you about, firstly, the selection of the Kriya of Chana? So who's left out? Right, so Rivka, according to Chazal, wasn't necessarily remembered on Rosh Hashanah, but Rachel. Sorry, you said Rachel. That's right. How about a story of Rachel? So what's interesting is that for those who were here for the 1:30 to 3:30 shiur yesterday, there we saw that Rachel didn't initiate as much when it came to her being remembered. And perhaps for that reason alone, Sarah and Hannah are really the ones to stand out. But we find that Tefillat Chana is very interesting. It's not only central with regard to the Kriyat HaTorah, the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah, but in Masechet Brachot we find that Chazal tell us that the number of brachot in the Shemona Esrei is also going to be related to Chana. Right? We have Sheva Deshapta, Keneged Mi, Amar Rabbi Chalafta Ben Shol, Keneged Shiva Kolot, Shamar Zavid Al Hamayim, right? Kol Hashem Al Hamayim, Kol Hashem Bahadar, Kol Hashem V'chulei. So we have seven of those, so we want to express the power of Hashem on Shabbos. So there are seven brachot, Keneged the Sheva Kolot. By the way, this in itself is interesting. This appears in the whole sugya of the differences of the number of brachot in Shemona Esrei based on the different times of the year. So Chazal tell us, for example, why are there 18 brachot of Shemona Esrei? So there are a few explanations, right? Can I get the 18 times that, again, in certain is Morei Tehillim, we have references to Hashem. But this is always a question, did Chazal decide to have the 18 brachot? Did they choose the number and then basically fashion the brachot to parallel to that number? Or did they happen to compose 18, and then did they look for some type of parallel? What do you think? They like the number 18? Yes. Right, so indeed we find a machloket here, right? I'll be honest, amongst the chokrei hatfilah, that according to some, they really like the number. They like the number 18. They like the number 7 of Shabbos. And now we're going to see, Hani Tesha de Rosh Hashanah. There's something inherent about the number 9. I'm telling you, they like the number 9. And even if they could think of 10 brachot to fit on Rosh Hashanah, they're going to stick to 9. They're going to stick to 7 on Shabbos. They're going to stick to 18. There's something inherently, by the way, amongst Chachmei Sfarad, we certainly see this. There's something magical to numbers. Who really likes numbers, by the way, amongst Chachmei Sfarad? All those that are into Remez and Sod. Which amongst the Rishonim are really into Sod? The Ramban. That's right. So here we find that perhaps, as I already said, it's very true. Maybe they like the number so much. What bothers us about that? Think of 18. In the end, they're really 19. So maybe they didn't like the number so much. Maybe they composed an 18 brachot because that's what they saw as the basis of the bakashot and the shevach and the hodayah that we have. And then they said, ooh, 18, that's a nice number. Let's see if there's any connection that we can find to 18. Again, the question is whether these numbers are a priori or post facto. And it's a machloka, we've shown them exactly how we understand this. But so let's go on to Rosh Hashanah. Where do we get the tesha to Rosh Hashanah? There are 9 brachot in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Can I get me? Am Rabbi Yitzchak, the man kartaginan, can I get tisha askarot sha'amra chana b'tzvilata? These are, can I get the 9 times that Chana refers to Shem Hashem, Tashem and her tzvila, as we're going to be learning very soon. So, again, either they saw tzvilat Chana as something so unique and significant to Rosh Hashanah that they said, no matter what, because Chana mentioned Shem Hashem 9 times, and Chana is somehow very, very connected to Rosh Hashanah, we're going to make sure that the number of brachot that are fashioned in the Musaf are connected to these teshas karot of Chana. Or once again, no, they decided, okay, we're going to have three malchiyot, three zichronot, three shofarot, and we see afterwards is, look, lo and behold, we have nine. Are there any connections between nine and Rosh Hashanah? What do you know? Chana has nine askarot, nine mentionings of Shem Hashem, and Amar Mar, Rosh Hashanah, Nifgada, Sarah, Rachel, V'chana. And lo and behold, we find that Chana is remembered and one who, together with Sarah and Rachel, conceives on Rosh Hashanah. Anything bother you about this Gemara? And somehow, Chazal see Chana is extremely connected to Rosh Hashanah, so that not only do we read the Haftorah from Chana, but the basis of the bracha, the basis of Musaf, again, the Kedusha Sayom, the Machiyot, Zechronot, and Shofarot, are all based on Chana here. Again, the main components of Shemona Esrei. However, look carefully at the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Why is Chana connected to Rosh Hashanah? Because Sarah, Rachel, and Chana were all remembered on Rosh Hashanah, so we're bothered by the fact that, here you're saying that Chana is so central. Chana has teisha askaros. What could I just as easily argue? Let's take a look at Bereishit Parakhaf Aleph. Let's count how many times Hashem is mentioned there, and based on Sarah's parak, we'll fashion the brachos of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Or let's take a look at Parshat Vayetzi, a Parakhaf said in Parak Lamed, and let's see the Rachel story, and based on the Rachel story, we'll fashion, meaning what's so significant about Chana? Here you're telling me it's Keneged Teisha Askaros of Chana because Sarah, Rachel, and Chana were remembered on Rosh Hashanah. That doesn't really tell me something significant about Chana. Everyone see that? So maybe you want to argue like the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Teisha Shel Rosh Hashanah Minayin. Okay, what's the basis of the nine brachos of Kedusha Tayom on Rosh Hashanah? Amar HaRav Bar Kartagina, can I get Teisha Askarot Shekatsu B'Parshat Chana? He said, yes, there's the idea of the Teisha Askarot, that's true. But note that apparently he doesn't believe that that's sufficient, perhaps for the same reason that we just argued, that Sarah and Rachel were also remember them. Abdi says, well, there's something nice about Tfilat Chana. Uktiv b'sofa, because it mentions at the very end of this tfila, Hashem yadin afsei ares, that Hashem rules the whole world. So there is something unique about Chana, in that Chana mentions din. There is an aspect of Tfilat Chana that contains the idea of din, that Hashem rules the world. Isn't that what Rosh Hashanah is all about? You just had a shiur about Yom HaDin, and the fact that this is a day of Hayom Harat Olam, so Hashem rules the entire world then. Is that a flawless explanation? What bothers you about this, the Yerushalmi's explanation? Again, so Tfilat Chana is so central because she has a pasuk of din at the end. Excellent. There are many, many references to din. As a matter of fact, ones that are much more overt within a parshia. I can choose numerous mizmorei tehillim. Again, I can take a look at the different sections in the Torah and find if you really want to address the idea of din. Tfilat Chana is certainly one that we're going to see doesn't focus on din. Yet, at the very, very end, she puts an idea of din. So we see nice ideas, but there's still something that bothers us. Apparently, Chazal saw Tfilat Chana as central. Whether the number nine came up before or after, there isn't such a tremendous nafkamina. What they certainly do see, though, is that Tfilat Chana is central to Rosh Hashanah, both in the Kriyat HaTorah and in the Tfila. Chana is certainly, I would even say, a central character on this day. So let's try to explore her tefillah, or let's actually look at the kriya of the Haftorah, the kriya from Sefer Shmuel, to try and understand a little bit of what's going on within the story itself, some of the dynamics within the story, and the focus of the story, which is certainly her tefillah, which even brings us to a little bit of a problem within the perek itself. When we think of a tefillah, what do we think of? What is the main component of a tefillah? What makes tefillah Shmona Esrei different than other tefillot? Right, it's hatzvilah. Hatzvilah is really a what? A bakasha, 100%. Hatzvilah is a bakasha. Now, when we think of tefillat Chana, what do you think of? So what's the tefillat Chana? When we talk about tefillat Chana, what is it a reference to? It's very nice. That's really, we're not referring to her bakasha, please Hashem grant me a child. You're going to see that that's pasuk yud. V'hi marat nefesh, v'titpalil al Hashem uvachot tefkeh. She daven to Hashem. Do we find the contents of her tefillah? No. The only thing that the Navi tells us is her neder, which isn't her tefillah. V'tomer Hashem tzvaot im ra'ot re'ab, ani amatecha, zachartani v'lo tushkach at amatecha, v'natata la amatecha zera'at nashim, v'ntativ l'ashem kol yimei chayav, v'mora lo yale al rosho. Here we find the difficulty. It's not really a tefillah that we find contained here. Yes, she has a tefillah, but we don't know about it. The tefillah that we're talking about is a little strange because that appears in Shmuel Aleph Perek Bet, but it's palel chana. It's really saying what? Again, in these temsukim, we're not going to have a bakasha. What's within these temsukim? We really have a shevach. And therefore, the Malbim points out, we shouldn't be calling this a tefillah. This is really a shira. And the truth is that those who study Tanakh study this, not as a tefillah, but study it as a shira, with the poetic devices and with the rhyming and the meter. This is shirat chana. And the Radak says, yeah, it's a shira, but we also call shirot tefillot. Right? That's a little bit apologetic over there. And yet, the Abarbanel tells us it's true. It's really not a tefillah at all. It really is a shira. He says, what makes it a tefillah? The very last pasuk, Hashem yichatzum rivav, v'shamayim yareim, Hashem yadin afsa'aretz. You ready for the last phrase? V'yitein oz l'makol, v'yarem keren mishicho. Again, what's the tefillah at the very, very end? The last phrase, the last clause, the final tzela, has a sense of a bakasha, and that's v'yitein oz l'makol, v'yarem keren mishicho. So apparently, because of that last phrase of, oh Hashem, please, arrange for Malchut, please create some type of savior, that gives the whole tefillah the name of a tefillah instead of a shira. Kind of a little difficult. So let's begin with the background, with the actual kriya that we read as the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah. And let's try to understand what the significance of this kriya is, and perhaps through the Tzvilat Shira that we're going to see at the end, how Chazal understood the centrality of Tzvilat Chana on Rosh Hashanah. Vahi ish echad min haramatayim tzofim, mehar Ephraim. And this already begins based on Sefer Shoftim. What's interesting is that we find at the end of Sefer Shoftim a whole slew of stories. Right? What stories am I referring to? They all have the same ending. Ein melech b'Yisrael, ish hayashar b'inav yaseh. The stories of Pesel Micha, the stories of Pilagish b'Giva, and then Milchemet b'Nyamin, talking about the problems of Avod Zarah and Giloy Arayot, and finally Shvichut Damim, which aren't necessarily chronologically arranged at the end of Sefer Shoftim, but actually are meant to depict the basic problems of the entire time period of the Shoftim. And who do we believe is the author, according to Chazal and Bava Batra, Daf Tedvav Amin Aleph? Who's the author of Sefer Shoftim? Shmuel. Who's the author of Sefer Shmuel? Or at least most of it. Chazal say Shmuel. Again, could Shmuel have written all of Sefer Shmuel? No, because he dies three times in Sefer Shmuel. And clearly Gad and Natan Hanavi take over for him, but he basically sets the tone for the entire Sefer. But certainly at the beginning, it seems as if he's the author, building off of Sefer Shoftim, wherein we also have men from Ephraim, who seem to be wandering around. As a matter of fact, they're not simply men, they're all Levim, who are wandering around because Levim aren't being supported. Why aren't Levim being supported during the time of the Shoftim? People don't want to support the Mechanchim. So what do the Levim do instead? They start to wander around and they aren't properly teaching the people, which leave the people much less educated. So Elkanah is going to be, to a certain degree, a tikkun for all of those Levim, those wandering Levites. And he is an Ephrati. Again, that means he's from the area of Har Ephraim. V'lo shtei nashim. Shem achat chana shem hashenit pnina. Which meant, by the way, that who was his first wife? Who is meant to be the matriarch? Chana. Right? Generally, a man only took a second wife. Again, polygamy was not so rampant then. One took it because it was also expensive to support all these wives. So why would someone take a second wife? If the first one wasn't bearing him children, vayhi lepnina yeladim, ulachana ein yeladim. Note the beautiful chiasm within the pasuk. Va'alaha isha hu mi'iro, mi'amim yamima, li'shtachavot lezboach la'ashem tzva'ot bishilo. We finally have this wandering Levite who in fact is going around and instead of worshipping by Pesel Micha in the area near Dan, and instead of again, participating in Giloy Arayot and Shvichut Amim, now we have a Levi from Har Ephraim who's doing the right thing. He's actually going to sacrifice in Shiloh where the Mishkan is. V'sham shnei b'nei Eli, chafni u'pinchas kohanim la'Hashem. Now note from the very beginning, who seems to be the hero of the story? Elkanah, right? How do you know that? Starts. Right, with Elkanah, describing Elkanah's two wives, almost Keneged Eli's two sons. Right, so it seems as if the stars of the story are going to be Elkanah, again, who has two wives, and Eli, who has two sons, right? A beautiful presentation. Right? So where else do we find a similar presentation? We expect the star of the story to be X, to be the main figure, right? We'll even say the head of the family, and lo and behold, he surprises us. In the end, who's going to be the star of the story? You all know. Hannah. We'll say instead of Elkanah and Eli, the stars are really Hannah and Eli. Right? This is called dramatic irony. Right? So where else do we find this? I'll give you a hint. It's another work authored by Shmuel. Ruth, it's beautiful. We have, who do you expect the story to be about? Elimelech, again, with his wife, Bushnei Banav. Ah, lo and behold, who's the story about? No. It's about Naomi. Right? Ruth is an accessory, but again, the story is really about Naomi. Here we go. Okay, he loves Hannah. Hannah's his first wife. Hannah's the main wife. Vahashem Sagar Rachma. Who does she remind you of? So by Sarah, we never find Hashem Sagar Rachma. We find Hashem Pakadet Sarah, which meant that Sarah really couldn't have children. She just physically couldn't have children. She was postmenopausal, and she can't have children, which means that her conception is completely miraculous. Right? Who also has a rechem, who potentially can have children, but Hashem sagar, Hashem closes it. This is called unexplained infertility. Rachel, very nice. V'Hashem sagar rechma, v'chi asata tzarata gam ka'af. And her rival, Pnina, causes her a lot of pain. Ba'avur hu rima ki sagar Hashem ba'ad rechma. And then she reminds her, yes, this is all from Hashem. V'chein yaseh shana v'shana midei alota b'beit Hashem kein tachisena v'atzevke v'lo tochal. Turn of Chana was very bothered by this. She was frustrated and she wouldn't eat. V'yom alal kana isha, Chana, lama tzevki v'lama lo tochli, lama yara levavech, halol anochi tov lach me'asara banim. And if you know, this is going to be a turning point within this story. What happens? Elkanah, in this pasuk, basically tells Chana, let's give up. Right? You should be satisfied with the very fact that I think of you, right, as my main wife, and anochi tov lach me'asara rabbanim. You should look at me, right, as your husband almost, as just as fine as having 10 children. Right, which means that she realizes that Elkanah is quite satisfied with the position. So even though Hannah's been relying on Elkanah this entire time to be the one to daven, she realizes, wait a second, right, he is now, he's basically giving up. Right, if he doesn't daven, now batakam Hannah, now she becomes the proactive one. Acharei achla b'shilo, v'acharei shato, ואלי הכהן יושב על הכיסא המזוזת היכל השם, והיא מרת נפש ותתפלל על השם. So really, when we think of תפילת חנה, this is the pasuk we should be thinking of. But we don't really know the content of her tefillah. And we know somehow she phrased a bakasha, Hashem, please give me a child, but we don't know the actual phraseology. ובכות תבכה, ותדור נדר, ותאמר השם צבאות, אם ראות תראה בעני המתך, וזכרתני ולא תשכח את המתך, ונתת למתך זרע אנשים, ונצטיב להשם כל ימי חייו, ומורה לו ילה על ראשו. Firstly, who does she remind you of? Batidor Neder. Again, this is Shmuel who's writing this, and he wants to create a contrast with characters in Sefer Shoftim. So who's Neder? Does this remind you of somehow? Who in Sefer Shoftim offered a Neder? Yiftach. Right? How is this different than Yiftach's neder? Anyone remember Yiftach's neder? Also having to do with children, no? Somewhat unrelated. What does he say? He says, Im b'tzeti. And he says, now if I'm going out to war against Ammon, v'haya b'shuvi b'shalom, Hashem, if you allow me to return peace, v'haya ha'davar ha'rishon ha'yotzei mi'beti, that's what I will offer to you as a korban. And Awa is a nether in Tanakh, or let's put it this way, it's a nether in Torah and Nevi'im, positive or negative? No, it's very positive. Think of who are those that offer nedarim? Who's the first one? Yaakov. Right? Good nether? What's his nether? Vaidor nether Lashem? He says, Hashem, if you allow me, if you provide for me and you allow me to return, then I'm going to come back and build a Beit El as a Beit Elokim. Very nice nether. What's the next nether that we find? Parshat Chukat, Am Yisrael, accept a nether upon themselves after the Amalekim and the Kananim come to attack them. In the last stage of their travels in the Midbar, they accept a nether upon themselves. Hashem, we're going to go out to war and we're going to declare everything Chayrim. Everything is going to belong to you. Are they successful? Yes. So what do we see in the Torah? What's a nether an expression of? Neder is really what? When we say Kol Nidrei every year in Yom HaKippurim, what are we saying? Hashem, Kol Nidrei v'chalotei v'isurei. In Zarna, right, that we have ever promised you, may they all be batel. Right, so why are we saying this? Why Nidarim? How about all the Chataim? Can we just cancel them out? Again, a Neder is a commitment. Right, a Neder is something wonderful, wherein we initiate a commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then on Yom Kippur, we say, all those commitments that we had, remember last Yom Kippur, Hashem, we told you as the shofar was blowing, and as we heard the words of Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim, and we came out saying, yes, this year we're going to be committed to being a much more sincere Jews. This year, we're committed to be more careful with what we say and what we think and how we act. But that didn't really happen. So, Kol Nidrei, all those commitments, Hashem, please, l'mafreya, retroactively, can you cancel? And certainly those for next year as well. However, ideally, a nether is wonderful to commit yourself to God. What Yaakov did, what Am Yisrael did, then we get to Yiftach. Now, Yiftach's nether is a unique one, because he is committing to God. No, he's saying, Hashem, if you allow me to be successful in the war, then I'm going to offer you whatever the first thing that comes out of my house is. Ah, why isn't that such a good nether? And the way that we know that it's not such a good nether is obviously from the continuation of the story, where what comes out of his house? His own daughter. Right? It's almost as if this is one of the Greek tales, right? I forgot who. But in any case, where we find almost as if the gods are playing a trick on man. Oh yeah, the first thing that comes out of your house. And Hashem saying, okay, right, let's see the first thing that comes out of your house. What's the problem with it? Yitzchak's neder that we're going to see when Shmuel writes about Chana's neder is portrayed entirely differently. Yitzchak's neder is, Hashem, I want to be completely committed to you, but what am I going to do? If I win this war, then you decide what I should give you. Is that a real commitment? No. That's perhaps the framework of a commitment, but the content is anything but. It's saying, Hashem, you decide how you want me to be committed to you. That's not a sincere commitment, leaving it up to God. So Hashem says, okay, you want to leave it up to me? Ah, look what came out. How about Chana's neder here? Is Chana's neder a true commitment? Yeah, what's she doing? She says, Hashem tzvaot, imra'ot tere bani yamatecha, uzachartani velo tishkach, venatata lamatecha zera nashim, unetativ l'Hashem. I'll show you how committed I am. If you give me a child, I will give that child to you. That's a commitment, all right. Not only is that a commitment, but this is a very chutzpah commitment. Wherein Chana says, Hashem, I don't know why. I don't know why you're not remembering me. So therefore, remember me. I'm going to force you to remember me. She's going to force HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the picture of her life. How does she do that? Says, you remember me. And then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that child that you give me and I'm going to give that child back to you. So Chana, what do you get from this? What's Chana getting? Hashem's going to give her a child only so that she can give a child back. What does Chana want more than anything? She wants to know that she can have children. That's exactly it. And therefore, the Midrashim will highlight the fact that she says, Hashem, I don't know why you created me a woman even. Why'd you create me a woman if you don't want me to have a child? So she tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get involved in my life. I just want you involved in my life, because if you are, then I'll show you what I'll do. Then I'll give this child back to you. I'll show you how involved I want you to be. I want you so involved in my life that I'm willing to dedicate this child to you. Right? That's a tremendous commitment. Right? This is Chana. So you're going to say, maybe this is why we read Chana and Rosh Hashanah, to show us what commitments are all about. That's a nice idea. But Chazal don't say that. They say it has something to do with her tefillah at the end, with her shira at the end. So let's go on. Matador neder v'hayakir b'talit palel lefnei Hashem Eli shomer piha. We know Eli thinks that, and she's not saying anything, and the general accepted form of worship during that time was to offer karbanot. So Eli thought that she was a shikorah, that she was a drunkard. She's just mumbling these words. And according to Chazal, the lights on his Urim v'Tumim lit up. Indeed, the shin and the chaf and the resh and the hay, he read it shikorah instead of kisara, or instead of kishira. You're not allowed to enter the mikdash. It says in Parshat Shmini, one is not allowed to enter into the mikdash in a state of intoxication. I'm just a bittered woman. I was speaking out of frustration. Again, if you have colored pencils or a highlighter, Excellent, for those who did. Again, what should one do here? Note that this is already foreshadowing to whose name? To Shmuel's name. Keep in mind that this is the first time you're going to have this. She'elatech asher sha'alt mi'imo. Right, so what Hannah has really been involved in is a she'ela, is a request. Vatomer, timsa shefratcha chayim be'inacha, vatelecha isha ledaka, vatocha lufaneha lo ayu od. She ate, meaning now she felt satisfied, she did whatever she could do, she invested as much as she could. Vashkimu baboka v'shachavu lufanei Hashem, v'yishuv avelo al beitam haramata, they returned to Ramah, the area of southern Ephraim. Vayede elkanat Hannah ishto, v'yizkara Hashem. That day, say Chazal, that day that she conceived, that was Rosh Hashanah. Hashem responded to her plea, Hashem responded to her neder, to her demand of a commitment from God. Look carefully. What does that mean? Two ways of reading it. I borrowed him from God. This is a child who's borrowed from God, which, by the way, is a beautiful idea about children, that we really borrow children from Hashem. Right, a scary way of thinking about it, but a very true one indeed. Right? They're really, so to speak, on loan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What else? What's the other possibility? As the Metzudot explained, Kimei Hashem She'eltiv, I asked, going back to Eli's words. Right? Ha'ayitena tshilatech asher she'alt mi'imo. So if that's his name, if that's why she asked from Kimei Hashem She'eltiv, what should his name be? What should it be called? Sha'ul. Very nice. Not Shmuel. When you think of Shmuel, what do you think of? Shema Kel. Right? Hashem has heard, which is also a nice name for this child. But no, me Hashem She'eltiv. This is a child that I requested, or this is a child that, to a certain degree, I have been borrowing from Hashem. She says, no, I have to fulfill my neder. Only when the child is a na'ar can I bring him to the Mishkan. And finally, she does, when he's weaned, either 2 or 3 years. And this seems to be perhaps a reference to the fact that he's 3 years old. Banar na'ar, vayishchotu et hapar v'viyu et hanar elili, vatomer biyaduni, chay nafshach aduni ani ha'isha, do you remember me? Again, I was the one who was standing with palel al Hashem, el hanar hazehet palalti, vayitein Hashem li et she'ilati asher she'alti mi'imo. Again, it could be the request, or it could be what I asked Hashem to borrow. V'gam anochi hish'eltiu la'Hashem. This is so beautiful. Right, what does she say about this child? I'm also going to lend him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, why is this beautiful? I'll be honest, even before having my son Shmuel, who's now 2 years old, I always said, after learning this parak, that everyone has to have a child and name him Shmuel. Why? This is, the epitome of what children are all about. This is the purest expression of it. A child is certainly, again, the ultimate of request that a mother has of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly, a child is, on one hand, on loan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, meaning, how should we be treating our children? How do your parents treat you? They should be raising you as if they're dealing with the Nechas of Hashem. You're familiar with, again, the famous statement said by Buria to Rabbi Meir on Motzei Shabbos after her 2 children died. And she said, it's like a jeweler who placed 2 jewels in our possessions to watch, and we took care of them, and now it's time to return them to the owner. Right, so that's to a certain degree how parents treat children. That's they're so vulnerable, right? And we don't know how long we're going to have them for. And yes, a very scary thought indeed, but one then that we would want to treat as the mashkon, almost a collateral that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us for a certain amount of time. On the other hand, what does Chana say? But what else are children? Anochi hishotiu laHashem. I'm also now going to dedicate him to God. Right, which is also something that we try to do with our children, right? He's also on loan to God, kol hayamim asher hayahu sha'ul la'Hashem. Right, he's also going to be on loan to God here, v'yishtachavu sham la'Hashem. Once again, what should his name be? Sha'ul. Why is Shmuel writing it in such a way that he says, okay, my mother named me Shmuel. Again, and clearly what's also in Shmuel? Shema Hashem. Right, clearly here. But he gives all these explanations for his name. 3 explanations of a She'ila and Sha'ul, La Hashem and Me Hashem, as if to foreshadow what? His relationship with Sha'ul HaMelech. How does Shmuel look at Sha'ul? As his own son. Right, so he sees, again, already the relationship there. A beautiful idea. So note, that we don't just read the tefillah that we're about to read now, but what we read on Rosh Hashanah is the prelude to that, for you to understand Hannah's commitment, for you to understand how hard she davens, really, to receive this she'ilah, how she committed herself for this child. And that's going to be extremely important, because now, when she's back in the Mishkan, we're going to hear her Shira. We're going to hear her thanks to Hashem. Now, before you take a look at the Pesukim, what do you expect the thanks to comprise of? What should be the composition? What should she be saying? What are you expecting within the next 10 Pesukim? What words? Hashem, thank you for what? Thank you for answering me. Thank you so much for this child. I'm going to raise this child. B'derech HaTorah v'Mitzvot. Let's see if that's what she says. V'tetzvalochana. No, this is also a tefillah. This is also a tefillah, because pay attention to what she says. V'tomer, alas libi b'Hashem, ramak harni b'Hashem. B'lashon yachid, yes, I have now been exalted with God. Rachat pi aloivai. Hashem has allowed me to say something against my enemies. Ki samachti b'shuatecha. I'm so happy with the salvation that you granted me. What's the salvation that she's referring to? Thank you for the child. Ein kadosh k'Hashem ki'im b'tzacha ve'ein tzor k'elokeinu. What does she do right away? She switches from the Yachid to the Rabbim. Hashem, thank you for what you did for me. But you know what? You're really great. You are great for everyone. There is no tzur. There is no stronghold. There's no strength like you. God is the one who plans everything. So don't listen to what everyone else is saying, because God knows what happens. The strongest of people, again, the archers, fail. Nechshalim azuchayil. Those who strengthen themselves, those who gird themselves with strength, also fail. Svayim balechem niskaru urevim chadelu. There are people who are full who will end up being hungry, and hungry people who stop being hungry. Ad akara yalda shiva rabbanim umlala. You can have an akara, barren woman, who then has 7 children, and then Chazal therefore tell us that Chan ends up having 7 rabbanim umlala, and a woman has many children who end up being miserable. So Chazal once again tell us that with every child of Hannah's, 2 of Peninah's died. Hashem mimitu machayem, morit she'ol vaya'al. Meaning, as much as man thinks that he's in control, Hashem's in control. Hashem kills, Hashem brings back to life, morit she'ol, he can bring a person down, vaya'al, and then come up to life again. Hashem morishu ma'ashir, Hashem makes people poor, but also wealthy. Mashpil achmeromem can depress a person and also bring him up. Mekim me'afar dal me'ashpot yarim avion lo shivim nidivim. He takes the poorest of the poor and places them with the nobles. Kizei kavod yanchilem kil Hashem etzukei aretz v'yashat alehem tevel. Because Hashem looks out even for the oppressed of the world. And you have to remember, v'yashat alehem tevel, Hashem is the one who settled the world. Raglei chasidav yishmor. Orishayim b'chushech yidamu kilo b'koch yidbar ish. Hashem watches over those that are chasidim, and the rishaim are silenced in darkness because a person doesn't succeed because of koach. Again, what's the basic theme here? And one should realize that one is vulnerable because Hashem ultimately is in control, so you may as well commit yourselves to God. Hashem yachatum rivav, alav ha-shamayim yarem. And Hashem is the one who thunders in the heavens. Hashem yadin afsei aretz. Hashem judges to the extent of the world. So on the most basic level, we see something very strange here. That it seems to be a shira, it seems to be a praise of Hashem, but it's an ironic praise. It's not one that we would expect, whom we are expecting, thank you Hashem so much for this child. One pasuk about that in very ambiguous and general terms. The rest is, Hashem, you're great for the world. Trinita, what is Hannah doing? Here, Hashem has granted her ultimate of requests. And not only does she return this child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or loan him to Hashem, but when it comes time to thank him, she undergoes a major transformation. She says, Hashem, thank you. But not only thank you for what you did for me, thank you for everything that you do for the entire world. She takes her personal experience and she transforms it into a national one, into a universal one. Here we have a completely selfless person who, while she has an opportunity to daven before Hashem, she says, you know what, Hashem, thank you. But now that I realize that you have the power of doing this, of granting a barren woman a child, I realize that you have the power to do anything. So Hashem, thank you for everything. But it's not just thank you. And yes, it's all leading up to the last pasuk. Hashem, if you can do anything, then yitein oz lamakol v'yarem kerem mishicho, then give strength to a king. Then please, let the Mashiach, the Savior, arise. Which tells us two things. Chazal tell us that here she's referring to either her wish to have Shmuel become king, or even more than that, she knows, Beruach HaKodesh, that Shmuel is going to be the one to anoint the first two kings, both Shaul and David. But without that Mamar Chazal, what's the pshat? Chana lives during a time where Ein Melech B'Yisrael Ish HaYashar Be'inav Yaseh. So what does she use her tefillah as an opportunity for? She takes herself once again out of the personal experience and instead sees herself as representing the nation. And she says, Hashem, thank you, yes, but now that you did this for me, I recognize that you can do this for all of Am Yisrael, and therefore we all need salvation. Hashem, please grant us all a king. And that's why it's a tefillah. It's a tefillah because she's not really thanking Hashem for her personal salvation. She is using her personal salvation to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save all of Am Yisrael. And that's a tremendous ma'ala. And therefore, what Chazal are telling you is, you want to know how to daven on Rosh Hashanah? You want to know what the basis and who the paradigm of the character who knows how to daven is and how you should approach the entire nature of Yom HaDin? So Chazal say, well, it's obvious. It's going to be based on the Tesha Askarot of Chana. The Tesha Askarot of Chana in this tefillah, yes, note that Hashem is mentioned 9 times because this is how we should all model our tefillot and the entire nature of the day. So read this, not only as the Haftorah, but make sure that this is the basis of your tefillah. Yes, the Haftorah will teach you about the commitment, about her sacrifice, and about how we should all be committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it comes to tefillah, the paradigm of the tefillah is the Chana's tefillah. And Rosh Hashanah, as much as we think that we're meant to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh, Hashem, please make this year a successful one, a healthy one. Let my children do well in school. Let me get into the programs in Israel that I want to, and the colleges that I want to, v'chulei. That's not what Rosh Hashanah is about. This is Hayom HaRat Olam. This is where we're supposed to see ourselves as a member of the entire universe. This is where we're supposed to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not as individuals, but as an entire nation. And not just as an entire nation, but as an inhabitant of the world. And therefore, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Shlom, L'chol Ha'aretz. We ask Hashem to maintain the nature of this world. We learn from Chana that we're supposed to take our personal experiences. And when we look around, we're not supposed to focus on the personal ones. We're supposed to daven on behalf of the entire tzibur. And that's why Chazal say, make sure that you look at this tefillah. The entire tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is going to be based on tefillah Chana. And according to the Yushalmi, it's because of the Hashem Yadin of Se'aretz. No, of course they could have chosen better psukim of Din. Yes, of course there are better ones, but there's no better one that also relates to the nature of Rosh Hashanah, wherein a personal experience becomes a national appeal. Tefillat Chana is not a personal thank you to Hashem. It's a national anthem. She is representing what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And if you look carefully, you'll see something beautiful. And not only are the Tesha Brachot of Rosh Hashanah based on the Tesha Askarot of Chana because of the national expression that we find contained within the tefillah, but even the different sections of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. What are the 3 main ideas that Chana mentions? Ein kadosh kashem ki ein biltzacha ve'ein sur ke elokenu. Can I get what? Malchiot. Hashem is the best. Hashem is the greatest. There's no one like God. Hashem looks out for the oppressed and spreads them over the earth. Hashem is the one to take the depressed and to make them sit with the noblemen. What is this a reference to? Chazal say, this is a chronot. Yes, we find that there are these hints within Tefillat Chana to the exact themes that Anshei Knesset Hagdolah and perhaps later on amongst Chazal as well wanted us to mention on Rosh Hashanah. And lastly, what Hashem Yadin of Se'er Titein Oz L'Makol Vayarem Keren Mishicho. He should uplift the horn of salvation. What's the horn of salvation? Shofarot. And therefore we find contained in this very short tefillah is anything but praise, but rather a prelude to asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Malchiot, through praising Hashem, through Zichronot, appealing to Hashem to remember us, and ultimately for the Shofarot, for Hashem to grant us salvation, a summary, a beautiful, concise format of exactly what we should be thinking about on Rosh Hashanah. And perhaps if we're able to a certain degree, relate a little more to Hannah. And that's why the Haftorah starts from the very beginning. Understand how committed she was. See her as the tikkun for all those characters of Tkufat HaShoftim. Understand what it really means to involve Hashem in our lives. And then, that way, to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we recite the Machiyot and the Zichronot and the Shafarot, to remember that it's really based all on this very short tefillah, to not only ask Hashem for the ultimate Geula on behalf of all of Am Yisrael, but to remember that our goal on Rosh Hashanah is not a personal one, but a national one.